Today's guest is a performance enthusiast like me. I want to welcome Guillaume Betilulu to Quality Sense Podcast. He allowed me to call him Guillermo, okay? he is the co-founder and performance engineering director at Octoperf, and we had a great conversation around performance testing in DevOps. Enjoy the conversation. Hello and welcome to Quality Sense Podcast. Hello, Guillermo. How are you?
Hello.
Doing?
Hello, Federico. Good, and you?
I'm really fine. Really, really happy to have you here in the show. Thank you for accepting the invitation and welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
So my first question for you, to understand a little bit more about your context, your background, can you tell us how you ended up working in performance testing?
Well, by accident, as many. Yeah. I mean, when I got started like 15 years ago, it was like there's no school that teaches you load testing. So I guess a lot of us ended up there kind of by mistake. But yeah, I started with LoadRunner back in the day. I remember I was working at Paris at the time and worked there on LoadRunner and Performance Center for a few years. Then I went working for Neotis. I followed a friend of mine that went there because it's on the south of France. So, you know, he went there because he wanted to be on the coast, and I followed him because it's nice as well. I worked there for 4 or 5 years. And after that, we started our own company, Octoperf, where we wanted to do kind of the same thing, but, you know, next gen using web technologies like Angular and so on to create a load testing tool that would be available in a browser, basically. So I'm trying to keep it short, but you know, we can elaborate on any
of this. But the thing is that today in your role, I understand that you are facing the different customers that you have today in Octoperf, and that brings you, I guess, or I understand, different perspectives on how different teams are doing performance testing. And I'm really interested in learning more about what you have learned in that interaction with the different customers about that.
Yes, exactly. That's why I was going with a long intro, because this puts me and us at Octoperf in a unique position to have a lot of feedbacks from customers. Because it's not just, you know, sometimes you see a lot of talk on the on LinkedIn, on social networks, and you don't really know if people are doing that in real life. And we have a lot of examples of what people think we should be doing, because we have a lot of people telling, oh, you should be doing this feature, should be doing this. And then we have a lot of calls with customers where we see what they are actually doing. And it's interesting to see the differences between the two. Like typically you'd expect nowadays to see a lot of DevOps, shift left, you know, automation, this kind of thing. And we do see some of that, but not as much as you would expect. Or we often realize that customers are not only doing that. And I'm supposed to say that because I'm kind of an old school tester, but you see old school testing doesn't want to die. It stays there and you have another layer of, you know, DevOps automation that comes to add it to it. Yes, sir.
When you say old school, you mean more waterfall style of doing performance testing or what?
Yeah, or before production, you know, the rush before production, load testing kind, if you see what I mean. Yeah. So this still exists, and it will probably keep existing for a while, because that's for a lot of companies, that's usually where you get all of the testing done anyway. But you also see them trying to do more load testing early on in the you know, development or near development or other things. But it's often not all they do. I mean, because I think it boils down to you need to have a particular kind of organization to be able to do everything shifted left. You know, it's not only switch in culture, but sometimes you need to change the people or to wait for a generation to pass. And these kind of things take a while. I mean, I remember when I was applying for a job in 2008 or something like that, and the manager already told me back then they wanted to push a new load testing offer to shift everything left and things like this. And we're 15 years later, and I'm pretty sure most of our customers do at least some of their testing the old-fashioned way.
So yeah, the same happens to us. I mean, we've been pushing the idea of shifting left performance to at least incorporate the topic in earlier discussions. Maybe it's not running performance tests every day, right? But at least doing something before, much before the production release, right?
Yeah.
But I would say 80% of our projects are the typical traditional old school performance load simulation before a few weeks before the production day.
Yeah, but it boils down to organization not being ready or not really needing the shift to agile. I mean, that's not a topic we hear a lot about, but I think people often forget that at the core of agile, and you can type agile manifesto in Google right now and go check it, there's people is the first item on the list, people and processes and, you know, etc. So if people in an organization don't need to be agile or they don't want it, I don't know, sometimes you hear, oh yeah, you need to shift the culture, but what you mean you need to shift the people to become agile? Agile is about people and you want to shift the people. So yeah, you know, it's difficult to get there. I mean, at my point, you cannot tell people it's like this and it must be like this, because it's not what these methodologies are about. And not all organizations need to abandon waterfall. Like for small projects, it's perfectly fine. Most of the time it does the job very well, and agile can add complexity to it. So, you know, it's always a matter of seeing what's best, and obviously there's a change management on top of it that would not help. That what I wanted to say was waiting a generation, maybe. But
today, do you see any shift left practice in the customers you have? What's the most common way to adapt performance testing earlier in the process?
So we do see some, obviously. I mean, it's not maybe not a major majority, but we see some. I think a lot of customers realize that it's not a silver bullet, so you can use it. It's a good tool, but it will not do everything. And what we often see is that you have a mix of the two practices. You'll have earlier testing using whether it's CI or test as code, or, you know, it can take different forms depending where you want to go and who does it. And you'll also have the other side as well. So what we see with our customers is these two things. In reality, the initial situation we have when we get to a new customer is often they have a legacy tool for their QA team. Could be JMeter, I would put JMeter in legacy because it's more than 20 year old. It's an old lady, but one we like in particular. But it could be LoadRunner, it could be NeoLoad, doesn't matter really for what I'm saying. And you'll have people doing, test as code, you'd have K6, you'd have Gatling, any other, and they don't communicate. Their big problem is they have teams doing testing all around, not communicate, and they're not working together. So I think our role and where it works the best is where we come and say, okay, it's a unique platform where we provide you the tool, like you have an API. Okay, you want to go crazy with test as code, there's an API, do what you want. You want to do the traditional testing, import your JMeter. And we want to have everyone in the same platform in a manageable way. And that's usually what works best. So you'd have this kind of center of excellence that we had before, where it was a QA team that was handling all the tests. Nowadays, I think what shifted is they would mostly handle methodology and tell people, okay, it's your first time using this platform or doing tests, I'm going to show you the methodology. You know your application, you create the code, you do all the work, the groundwork, but I will guide you to have a meaningful test and analyze the results. And we often end up with this core team that will handle this part of the, you know, core methodology for everyone. And it's kind of training people to be autonomous on testing their application because they know it very well.
Very, very interesting also, because it's not only about providing the tools, but there is also, you mentioned before, the shifting in the culture. You need the team, the people aligned with the idea. I remember a project a few years ago where we were doing some early performance tests. We were running those tests very frequently, but then we realized that nobody was doing anything about it because they were not paying attention to the broken tests, right? So what's the advantage of incorporating performance tests or having a performance tester doing all that stuff if nobody is doing anything about it, right?
I'm glad you mentioned it because I say that all the time. And I think people around me, I talk to people, are tired of hearing me say it. But, well, I mean, not. We often joke about it. But, you know, we don't look into what customers do because RGPD, everything, we do not do that. But when there's a support case, we will look at what people ask us to, you know, check out. And when we do that, we often realize that they're doing tests with like 100% error rate. And we say to them, okay, but what's the purpose of these tests? Why do you have 100% error rate? And they often say, oh, no, but that's because I want a test like this or whatever. And you see them repeating the test during the phase of the support case where you try, you help them. You see them having these tests with 100% error rate, and you realize that they didn't set them like this, and they're just maintaining something, like keeping it in place where they don't even know what the expected result of this test is supposed to be. And sometimes with hundreds of notification going out to many people, and as you said, in fact, nobody is actually looking at the results of these tests. And I think that's something you often miss. We have a writer for our blog, Stephen Jenkins, and he wrote a very good blog post about how to automate. And I think the first item he said was think about how much time you want, or about how much time you have to analyze the tests. Do you want to spend 10 minutes every day, 30 minutes, an hour, 10 minutes per week, and then automate at this level? Like the report should fit in this window, because if you never look at it, as you said, it's not worth much or maybe anything.
I'd like to take a moment to thank the people at Abstracta for sponsoring and helping me to create this podcast. Abstracta is a company fully dedicated to software testing and software quality that can help you and help your company to push the quality of your products and processes to the next level. And again, with the old school idea of running one performance simulation before production and then forgetting about the performance test, you don't pay attention to the maintainability. I never heard someone talking about a flaky performance script, right? So yeah. What's your experience around that?
I used to have an entire slide in my in our training support telling people, okay, if you're doing more than 5 load test scenario, you're probably doing something wrong, because in reality, you might end up in a state where you have so many performance testing scenarios that when you're done, the application changed and you have to do them again, and it's an endless spiral. So yeah, that's a very good point. The first thing I recommend to people, and that's even when they start Octoperf or testing in general, is start small. So you start small and you build on it, because it's always possible to add a new testing scenario, but first do one that's easy. You run it, you see the result, try to understand them, and then add another one. Because if you create like 5 or 10 scenarios that are very complex and you run a test, it's going to be a mess. You won't be able to analyze it. So, you know, I think it should be one of the core features of all load testing. You start with something that's manageable. And I'm pretty sure you could say the same thing for application development and many other things, like the keep it simple methodology.
Yeah.
You know, start for something from something your brain can understand. And I'm no smarter than anybody. I just want to know the limits of my brain. So yeah, start with one scenario. When you can master it, you go to another one, and you know, you build on top of that. And that's usually, I think, a good way to get started. After a few years, you may end up with hundreds of scenarios, and that's another discussion, because at that point, you may want to cut down and to keep it manageable. But that's another story as well.
But also, if you're thinking in a few scripts, maybe the way you structure them, the way you use, I don't know, how you modularize or how you access the different data, this is it can make a huge difference in how maintainable those scripts are, right?
Yes, it does. And automation is not always a good friend. Like, you could automate everything, like fetch the data from a database, and I don't know if you've seen this XKCD comic where there's a guy with a laptop and he's like, oh yeah, I automated everything, look. And someone said, but is it a chain of tools that will fail at the first time anything goes wrong? And he's like, no, oh wait, it failed. Oh wait, just a minute. And you want, keeping it simple is also, keeping it simple in terms of data set, in terms of everything, have something control. It's possible to have reusable blocks in your script. Is it something you should do in the first place? Maybe not. Starting simple is also about that. But in the end, when you want to automate, it's, when you've run it once, a first time, you can make sense of what needs to be automated, because you know how much time it's taken you. And if it's 30 seconds, who cares? You can probably do it manually a few times a month. It's not a big deal. But if it's something that took you a few hours, then yes, you can definitely look into it. So whereas I often see people trying to automate everything from the start, where you're like, yeah, but you're spending hours saving 30 seconds. Are you sure it's worth it? And it's not really just load test related,
What about the opposite direction? Because we've been talking about shifting left, but there is a lot to consider in the shifting right of the performance testing. Do you see any practices related to observability or testing in production or these sort of things in your customers?
But testing in production is something you see. I often see e-commerce doing, because it's expensive to have large servers or large number of servers for pre-production environments. So they would already do it. It's not really my job, so I might be completely wrong, and you'll correct me, or people all over the internet will correct me. But I think with the changes with open telemetry and things like that, it's also a domain that is evolving rapidly. So I think the big players have, like Dynatrace and others, they're already, APM and observability in general. Nowadays, they are all challenged by open source solutions. So I don't really know where this is going. We have customers that use both. The ones using open source struggle with building architectures for their observability platform, because you have all the layers, but you still need to, install them. And the one using the legacy can find it quite expensive as well, because it's per server, and often you end up not instrumenting all the servers, so you still action. But I guess it depends on the context as well.
I don't know if it was my connection or your connection.
Oh yeah, I think it broke up for a few minutes.
Say again, sorry.
I think it broke up for some time, but earlier as well, you had some.
Maybe can you repeat the last part? I don't know then, Sophie, how is going to connect these pieces, but maybe rounding up the idea about different APMs having different costs or.
Yeah, but just wondering where I should start over. But I guess in the end, it's always something to. It depends on the context. Like if you have mostly production environments, you could be using observability more than load testing, because there's no pre-production where to do it. But if there's a lot of production servers, observability could be a good way to do part of the test. but it doesn't cover the entire load testing spectrum anyway. So that here as well, the good old legacy load testing also applies, because the observability checks what's going on, but you also need to simulate it with a load test. So,
you know, there was a project where I was doing test automation, functional test automation, and at some point I proposed to do some typical performance simulation to make sure that a new release, it was also an e-commerce site, I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to have any outages or anything. And my leader back then told me that they had the performance under control because they were releasing every day. So the delta between one version and the other was so small that, and they were capturing all the metrics from production, and they could roll back automatically if they needed, if they saw any spike or any unexpected behavior. So there are many approaches that I feel that they are complementary, because in some situations it still makes sense to do things beforehand, before releasing. And this other approach, I find it very useful as well, right? It's like understanding and learning from the real users, not from a simulation. So is there, what do you think about this?
I think it boils down to what's your use case, really. Like we've had internally a lot of conversation around microservices, for instance, and I think it's comparable. Like for some time, for the last 10 years, everyone or a lot of bloggers were like, microservices are the future, you should go there, it's wonderful. And now you see the opposite. People are like, yeah, it's good if your app is enormous, but for smaller apps, like the monolith application makes a lot of sense as well. And I think it's pretty much the same thing. Like if your production, if you're Netflix, you don't want to emulate your peak load. It would cost you like, I don't know, millions. So yeah, testing in production is a very good manner to deal with it. If you're in between, then it's, you know, you have to think about it. If you have something out of the ordinary, a typical load test makes a lot of sense. Like if you will be featured on TV, you probably want to anticipate that. Otherwise, yes, you're right. Testing, having an iterative delivery or daily deliveries may mean you can roll back easily, and it's probably enough. It's more a question of strategy. Like if your business is steady and you don't expect big spikes, then yeah, it's a perfectly valid method. Point is, again, there's no silver bullet. It really depends on the context.
Absolutely. So my final question to wrap up this conversation, what's the best ingredient for you in a testing strategy considering performance?
I think it's important to consider it early. Like what you said at the beginning, consider it early. Don't even have to do it early. But just think about what performance will require to do. Could be as stupid as thinking about a way to disable a captcha or whatever, you know, early on, but before it's too late and, you know, you're going to production in 2 weeks. Or it could be a core thing like, I don't know, preparing machines to do the load test because it will be in a particular environment. The execution and the rest is obviously also important, but the earlier you put, you know, the idea in everyone's mind, the easier it will be. Because it's usually not something people expect. Like you'll be coming asking for data sets with hundreds of users. Nobody expects to have to produce that. So, you know, the earlier you're there, the better you can prepare.
Absolutely. Having a good performance is not something that happens by accident as becoming a performance tester.
yeah. I mean, when it does, it's usually not a good sign. Let's put it like this.
Yeah. So the idea I get from this conversation is, no matter if you decide to shift left, shift right, doing continuously or how, but having the conversation very early or making a strategy out of it.
Yeah. And just don't forget, it's about making performance better, but also if you make people's life harder in the process, you probably won't be able to do it. So just need to find the right way to fit performance in your structure, in your infrastructure, or in your organization, sorry.
Yeah, perfect. William, it's been a pleasure. Guillermo, I hope to
see you. Figure. Pleasure as well.
And have a nice rest of the day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
See you in the next episode of Quality Transparency.